This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi, with me is Travis and Lisa, and today we're going to be talking about fear. Have you ever noticed that our culture is driven somewhat by fear? If you watch a news cycle, you will see story after story. Sometimes you'll get a nice one with some ducks in it or something like that, that are heartwarming little stories. But other than that, it's usually driven off of some type of fear. If you stay up too late at night and you watch a good infomercial, which I do enjoy them because those things are magical products, you will get something that is based off of fear, like a mop, a Wonder Mop, you know, for three easy payments of $19.99, you will be able to get your house up to speed, and it will go from the petri dish of deadly diseases to the sterility of a hospital.
Do you remember the Slap Chop?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh, I'll have to share the YouTube videos.
Oh, is that the little choppy thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I do remember that. I didn't know it was called the Slap Chop. Do you have one? Did you spend the $19.99?
I don't have a Slap Chop.
But do you want one?
I do.
Yeah. Yeah. So everywhere we turn, there seems to be some amount of fear that is driving us. And all of us have fears. We are human. Travis, what's your fear?
Snakes. And that's a legitimate fear because they can kill you. So
you live in a place that has nothing that can kill you.
I'd beg to differ.
I will catch you one and put it in your truck for you, and I'll show you that it won't.
Dude, I'll get
one. I would die of a heart attack.
You would probably crash into somebody.
It's a childhood trauma thing. So okay, yeah, okay. That's where it stems from.
What about you, Lisa?
You know, I actually have a fear of flying in airplanes. I travel a lot. I mean, I love to travel, but I get great anxiety when I fly. And so I have a...
Yeah, some of our fears are not rational. Snakes, flying, probably not that rational.
I mean, I still get on the plane.
Yeah, it's probably not that rational. Driving is probably more dangerous, or it is more dangerous than flying, and there are no snakes that can kill you up here, so... You're probably going to be okay. Everybody has fears, though. Even if you are a social media person, you start to watch other people do all their fun vacations and post their pictures, and you have FOMO, fear of missing out. And so fear is a thing that drives us, and it takes us to places that are sometimes good, sometimes bad. Some of us have a fear of failure. Others have a fear of being hurt or rejected, and there's just fears everywhere. And yet the Bible says something maybe a little bit different about that, and how that fear can be in one sense, if we allow fear to control us, it can be a weapon in our life that actually distracts us and pushes us and guides us in a direction that is not from God. And the Bible tells us there is something that God does. And he doesn't eliminate fear, but he says that there is no fear when it comes to his love. And I think it's in 1 John 4. Lisa, you want to read that passage?
Yeah, I'm going to start at verse 16, if that's okay, because it talks about God's love there. So we've come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love rests in God and God in him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not been perfected in love.
So the question that rises out of that is, how does God's perfect love drive out fear?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. Because on the one hand, you would think that the love of God seems kind of abstract, right? That you have this fear and the snake is right in front of you. So how is it that the love of God is present in your fears? That's a really interesting question.
Yeah, I think part of it is understanding a characteristic of God, right? Like everything that he does is driven out of his love. And so whether it be judgment or wrath, or it be mercy or grace, whatever characteristic that you go with in God, there is always, it's always driven by love. And so I think partially in that passage is understanding that characteristic of God is a fundamental characteristic for us to understand all of the other things. And it is being pushed out through that.
I think a big fear in people, maybe our country, maybe our culture, maybe our world, is like people want to be loved. And when you're not loved, that can bring in all those things, anxiety, depression, fear. That next verse in that passage, 19 says, we love because he first loved us. And so you have to start to understand what God's love looks like. And we know that his love looks like the form of Jesus coming down, fully God, fully man, to the cross to make that atonement, that payment for our sins, because we can't do that ourselves. And apart from God is where we're at without that atoning sacrifice of Christ. And so it's his perfect love that he gave for us that can cast out those fears. And that's kind of mind-boggling to some extent, but when you start to understand how deeply loved you are, that God gave up so much, that Jesus gave up his own life and laid it down for us, you start to have some assurance in life.
Yeah, and fear is driven by our understanding of pain or punishment, and it comes out of our not wanting to experience that. Mm-hmm. And I think the context of that verse, read verse 17.
By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world.
So what it's saying there is that we have confidence on the day of judgment because Jesus came. Jesus died on the cross for us. Our sins were forgiven in the midst of this. And in this world, we are to be like Jesus in the sense of love and sacrifice. And there's something really beautiful about those words that he uses there, that it, in God's love, it drives out fear, but also in others, it drives out fear. If I know somebody loves me and they tell me something harsh or they do something, it's a lot easier to, and more digestible to accept that and to not be fearful of that. A parent who punishes their child, but the child knows that they love them, is different than a parent who punishes their child and there is not that connection to them, or there is not that love component that is a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the getting down to the reason for the fear, or what helps us understand which attribute of God's love is applicable in each moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that there's a sense that we can pretty, I don't know, this passage could easily be used as a way to sort of write off the fears of other people, right? Someone comes to you and they're like, oh, I'm afraid of whatever. And you can say to them, oh, well, God's perfect love casts out fear. And so the way that this gets applied, I'm just wondering if we could talk about that for a little bit.
Yeah, I think that, you know, understanding what was going on the cross is helpful to understanding this passage, that the wrath of God was put upon Jesus, the wrath of God for our sins, not for Jesus' sins, was put on him on the cross. And when he said it was finished, it was paid for. It was met in that.
Yeah. So, like, let's just talk about, like, there's a holiday coming up right now. It's Mother's Day, and we got a lot of mothers who have fears, right? What if my kids don't turn out right? What if my kids don't, like, and there's a lot of moms who live in anxiety and fear over the fate of their children. The immediate day-to-day things related to parenting. And so how does this passage, like, let's just talk about that. How does this passage help moms who are dealing with anxiety and fear related to their day-to-day struggle of parenting?
Well, I think it's a control thing at some level, right, for parents. Like, it's thinking that they're your kids. Well, mm-hmm. That's not what the Bible actually describes. None of this stuff is ours. It's on loan from God. and it is his. And so we have a job to steward, like the training up our kids in the ways of God. But it's not, I don't think it, like our kids, like, I don't know. My kids could go all haywire. But have I done the best that I can in the midst of this in order to do this? And then what is the responsibility of them? And what is the responsibility of God in the midst of that? And, you know, the Bible's fairly clear that you train up your ways, you train up your children in the ways of the Lord, and
when he has told you, will not depart from them.
Right. And so there is this, you know, that's a proverb, so it's not a promise, but it is usually true. And we see that here in the church, like people will be gone in their college years, and then all of a sudden they have kids, and whoop, right back into church they come. And there is something about that that is usually true. And yet there, of course, there is a worry. And that's when you're praying and going, God, I need you to do something here. They are not mine. They are yours. And these children are blessings from God, but they're not ours to just manage, but really just to kind of steward in that. So that would be one of the ways, is really to being dependent upon God. Because you can do everything right. You can teach them all the right verses. You can teach them, you know, they can be in Awana and they can do all of the memorizing of verses, and they could come to every Sunday school class, and they could still move in a direction away from God. And, but have you done everything that you can, that you've been called to do by God in the midst of that?
Yeah. I mean, I think what I hear you saying, like translating what you're saying to me, there's a sense that when we recognize in this situation, right, moms, that God loves our kids far more than we ever could, and they're not ours anyways. There's one, a freedom that we don't need to worry about the things that God already has taken care of in his great love, not just for me, but also for my kids.
Mm-hmm. And I think those fears come out of, Levi, you said control. And I think there's an element of security of that too. Like, we want to know what's going to happen, how it's going to play out. And especially as parents, I mean, we have no clue. They didn't come with an owner's manual that said, you know, here's how to reset and restart them and direct them in this way. I'm reminded of a passage out of 1 Peter that says, cast all your fear or your cares or your anxieties on him because he cares about you. So we can take those things, and you kind of have to understand they're not ours to carry. But because of that great love that God has for us and continues to overflow into our lives, like, he wants us to give him those things. He didn't give us a spirit of fearfulness, of timidity, but he gave us one of power and of sound mind. That comes out of 2 Timothy. And, you know, the world is uncertain. I think of my prepper friends. I know where I'm going. If stuff hits the fan, like, that's where I'm going. But I'm not a prepper. But there's some uncertainty with those things, in the way that whether life plays out or the way our government is, that people are, that having that sense of not, things are not secure. They're not in their control. So how are we planning ahead? And the scriptures keep saying over and over, give them to me. Come to me.
Yeah, it's, where's our primary security coming from? And so sometimes our fears are based in where we're placing our security and where we're placing our hearts. And do we believe that God has control over these things? Like, there's no guarantee that Brenna and you will be together forever. There's no guarantee. I would hope and pray that that's true. Yes, and
I do as well.
That turned dark.
We
real
might need
quick.
To have
that turned a little dark.
Offline conversation here.
No, but there's no guarantee. Our marriages aren't guaranteed. Our jobs aren't guaranteed.
Our health.
Our health is not guaranteed. Our children are not guaranteed. There's nothing, like, it's not like God goes, here you go, and there's all these guarantees. The only guarantee that we have is what you're actually talking about, that we can cast these fears, we can cast these anxieties, and that our security comes from the rock, and that is him. And that's the guarantee we have. And so when you understand how much God loves you, and going back to that passage, when you understand how much he loves you and you realize it, I think it does something in your heart. It is already true that God's perfect love cast out fears, but it's an understanding of his love for us.
Yeah, I like just one chapter over in 1 John 3:20. It says, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. And all in the context of God's love for me, when our hearts get out of whack and we're all, I don't know, when fears assail us, God is greater than the anxiety. And he knows, not only he knows the end of the story, he's got it, yeah, but he also knows what's in my heart. And that's also quite reassuring.
Yeah. There are some promises in scripture about God and what he does and what he says to us. You know, I will never fail you or forsake you or leave you. My grace, it will be sufficient for you. Trials happen. Trials come and go. I love you. The more we believe in the love and the sufficiency of God, the more fear is driven out of us. And I think that's just, I think it's partially is our relationship to God.
Well, do you think sometimes, I was just thinking of the connection between, the promises that God has given to us and the truth that we have in him. And I just glanced over at the end of the book, and the end of 1 John talks about us being the same thing, being in the love of God, that God is true, ultimately true. And the end, the very last verse of 1 John says, little children, keep yourself from idols. And I wonder if there's a connection between our fears and the thing that we worship that isn't God.
Right. Yeah. 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 Our kids or our money or our jobs or our marriage or whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Well, we fear about the eternal things, what's at the end, what's going to come, and we fear about the immediate things, our day-to-day stuff. And I was looking at Matthew chapter 6 when Jesus is teaching about worry and fear, and he's like, you don't have to worry, like, about your food, about your clothes, about any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I take care of the birds of the air and the flowers in the fields and clothe them. And at the end of that chunk where he's talking, Jesus, he says, your heavenly Father knows all the stuff that you need. He knows it all, and he's there. So don't worry about tomorrow, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you. Like, Jesus gets it. Mm-hmm. He knows that we've got these eternal big things, and we've got the day-to-day things that we worry about. But he's like, if you put me first, like, you don't have to worry.
Yeah. And you seek after him on that daily basis. I just love that part with the flowers. Like, I just think of, I don't know why I think of this, but I think of the Sound of Music, and they're climbing up the hill, and there's all these flowers that are there. And like, no one sees those flowers. And yet the beauty and God producing them and creating them for our enjoyment. Like, how, like, and they may not, they're not going to even get, might, they might live and they might die. And it might not be for anything or anyone in that moment, but he does it anyway.
Yeah, I just yesterday I had this conversation with my youngest son, and he said to me, we're outside because the weather was glorious, and he said, Mama, who takes care of the flowers when it's winter, and how do they come back? And I said, oh, well, God takes care of that. And he's like, what? And I said, yeah, God takes care of the flowers. It says right in scripture, it says in the Bible that God, how much more does God care for us when we know that he cares for the flowers in the field? And he looked at me and he's like, whoa.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Well, what do you do when you do have fears? And I think you identify that fear, and, you know, I think there's a rebuking of it. In the name of Jesus, like, if God is who he says he is, we rebuke that fear in the name of Jesus. I think Satan, and I don't think we understand the power of the dark world, that there are two worlds colliding all the time, and we're a party to that. There's a war going on for our hearts, and you see Satan is kind of a part of the problem. And I think he produces fears, whether they be real fears or not real fears. He uses those to push us away from the goodness of God. So I think that's one thing, is just to rebuke it. I think you discuss your fear with another person, a trusted Christian friend, to kind of just walk through that with you. I think a lot of times our fears are internal, and we don't want to speak it, but oftentimes when you speak it, it releases it. I think that there's something about that that is helpful. And to have somebody pray for you, I know for me in my life when there has been fears and I've told somebody and they prayed for me, there is something about that that just helps to bring peace in the midst of that. And I think that sharing, I think telling God, hey, here's where I'm at. Here's what's going on. Here's my fears. Here's my hurts. Here's my habits that I'm dealing with. But here you go. This is the fear, because 110 times, I think in scripture, it says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Over and over again, it says that statement. And yet we miss out when we don't bring those fears to God. I think the other thing is praying, and using scripture to pray over things. You know, there's great psalms out there, like Psalms 23, that's been used for a long time. The Lord is my shepherd. And remembering that he's a good shepherd. That's what he says. He is a good, good shepherd. And he loves his sheep. And, you know, just praying through that, praising God for who he is, but also realizing, because I think we have to understand, what does it mean for God to love us? What does it mean for that? Because it's not that I don't conceptually understand that, but I don't always believe it in the real world that he actually loves me. You know, praying those things and praying that the Lord, you know, I know that you're my shepherd right now. And as if you were the only sheep in the flock, that you're just praying that over, that I know that you're my good shepherd. Here's where I'm at. And I think that's an effective practice to use in really bringing those things to God, is to be able to realize who he is, that he loves us so, so very much, and to bring those fears to him. That is good news you can use.
Hey, thanks for joining us this week. If you've got questions or a topic that you'd like us to cover, we would love to hear from you. You can email those to travis@evangelup.org. If you want to catch up on any of the previous Pearls and Swine episodes here on Good News You Can Use, just search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform. And you can always find those at evangelup.org.